ego. Not to be confused with the ego which we use in common parlance. It is related to reality principle. Ego says that the presently, right now, I am taking a video lecture and I have got to be conscious about it. I must take things in a logical part of it. It's a conscious of the logical part of the human personality. It is based on realities of external environment through intellect and reason. It seeks real pleasure. The third one is superego. It is a conscience. It represents a system of values, norms, ethics and attitudes. It acts as ethical constraint on behavior. Superego acts as a norm to the ego in order to determine whether which behavior is right or wrong. Let me put it differently. There's an id inside you which says do it because there's a need to do. The ego says social dictates demand, I need to do it, so I do it. If I act only on the id, I may be socially inappropriate. If I act only on the ego, I may destroy the needs of the id. Now something has to come in between, that is a superego. It forms a bridge between the id and the ego. And so it balances you. It tells you it should be appropriate to have lunch only after the lecture is over. The id will tell you, I'm hungry, I need lunch. This is called as instant gratification. The ego will say, you can't take lunch because it's in the reality of the present. The superego will tell me, let the session get over, you can have lunch. So that bridge is important. That bridge is a superego according to this Sigmund Freud's theory, psychoanalytical theory. Socio-psychological theory, next one. Social-psychological theory. The contribution of the researchers are, there's a person called Fromm, F-O-R-M-M. It's not Fromm, as in the word Fromm, it is F-O-R-F-R-O-M-M. He stressed on social context. Contributions include building social relation, making work socially relevant. Okay, so according to Fromm, the personality development takes place socio-psychological. If the environment is good, my psychology will support it, I like it, I'll start going there and I'll be productive. Two other researchers, Sullivan and Horney, stressed on interpersonal behavior. They said that the personality development grows when the interpersonal behavior is nurtured and it's very healthy. So contributions include developing transactional abilities, developing positive attitudes. So create these things among people and according to Sullivan and Horney, they will be developing their personalities properly. Adler, another researcher, stressed on different variables. Contributions included career, networking, religious beliefs, family, work balance, etc. So each one has given his own interpretations and everything is valid. Nothing can be read and practiced in isolation. You have to take a combination and see how it works in a situation. That's why I've told in the very first chapter that behavior is a applied science. It's like a clay that is given to you. You have to mold and play around it. This requires more skill than mathematics. Let me put it this way. Logic is very clear. 2 plus 2 is 4. Whereas behavior is not so. Behavior requires a type of a skill. It's got a number of skills. Social skills, cognitive skills, skills of interpretation, skills of linguistics. So many things have to come into picture. Right? So Horney stressed on predominant interpersonal behavior. Compliant people are dependent on others. Aggressive people are motivated by the need of power and detached people are self-reliant. So he said that the interpersonal behavior are of three different types. There are compliant people who say, fine, we are dependent on each other, we are interdependent. And there are aggressive people who say that I need power and I am going to do it my way. So they may create a trouble. Are these aggressive people bad? No. There are situations where we need them. There are situations where we need compliant people also. Right? Trait factor theory helps to find relation between traits and behavior. Surface traits, something that is at the surface. Individuals keep actual feelings inside and exhibit traits desirable by situation to please others. I gave you the example of the interview. You are smart enough to know that in the interview, if I behave like this, I'll get the job. Now, if the interviewer is not smart enough to know that you're putting on an act, he will land up getting a bad recruit. I've seen this in many places. When I sit in the interview board, interview panel of my companies, when they invite me, I tell my colleagues who are sitting around me that let's understand this person beyond what we are seeing today. That's why behavior cannot be put in a checklist, according to me. Behavior cannot be put in a checklist at all. Behavior is beyond the checklist. You can't say tick, tick, tick and accept the person. No. Surface states is very, this is a type of a manipulation people do unknowingly. I know I have to get work done from someone, so I will develop a surface trait which is totally different from inside. In my experience as a faculty, I do come across students who start, you know, behaving very friendly with us, with me, with other professors also, because the internal marks are there and there's an internal presentation to be done. And so, you know, they start coming with an agenda, they start trying, and we can see through that. Surface traits. Inside, they are only waiting for the exams to get over. After that, tata, bye bye. Nothing wrong. That's the way they are. So, individuals keep actual feelings inside and exhibit traits desirable by the situation and to please others. It includes wise, foolish, affectionate, cold, sociable, seclusive, honest, dishonest. Wise outside, foolish inside. Affectionate outside but cold inside. Sociable outside but seclusive inside. Seclusive means alone, lonely. Honest outside but dishonest inside. Very interesting. You must develop the skills, my dear friends, to understand who is who when they talk to you. Don't get into over research and isolate people. Don't try to take things at face value. Learn to be interpretive, not judgmental. Learn to interpret. Check whether your interpretations are okay or not by further experiences. The only way to understand behavior is to experience behavior with others. Don't run away. Don't run away. Don't overindulge. You must learn to balance. That's where the skill is. Right? Source traits. Individuals with source traits are able to judge, analyze and understand people and situations more accurately. These include maturity, relation, realism. These are the people who are realistic. And when they display a trait, it's outside and inside are together. They are not disconnect. Maturity, realism, good nature, trustworthiness, critical, suspicious. So these are very clear-cut people, source traits people. Now we talk about holistic. Holistic means including many, many things, looking at the larger picture, all connected with each other. It deals with the four factors of self-concept. Self-image, it's a set of beliefs of oneself of who or what he is. I've already explained this earlier. Ideal self, I want to be this. I would look at myself as being this. It denotes the way one would like to be. Self-image is a reality of a person and ideal self is an ideal position as perceived by him. Ideally, I would like to be like this, like this, like this. But reality is I am like this. So there's a disconnect between self-image and ideal image. Looking glass self. It's a perception of an individual about how others perceive his characteristics and qualities. It's a perception of the individual about how others perceive his characteristics and qualities. So when I'm sitting down, I'll be thinking, I said this, what would he have thought of me? Looking glass self. Reflection about yourself. About what people think about you. I'm going to wear this dress and go. I'm going to wear this party shirt. What will people think about me? People sometimes go crazy thinking about what to wear. And they land up wearing something which is totally different. Just to give an example. Looking glass self comes into picture. Real life. This is what one actually is. It is a real characteristics, values and attitudes of a person. Not what you think you are. Person adjusts himself based on the responses of others and environmental influences. This is maturity. I love to be in a company of people who discuss books. Let us give an example. I love to be in a company of people who discuss books, latest books. But I am planted in a company where nobody is a book lover. So if I am following the real life theory, I would say fine. Let me be a listener and listen to what others have to say. There may be a stockbroker, there may be an actor, there may be a, say, somebody from a different field altogether, and I'll just listen to them. So thereby what am I doing? I'm putting myself into the, I'm responding to the environmental influences that are happening there realistically. This is about the best thing to do. This comes after a lot of reflection and self-development. Personality and organization behavior. Personality obviously has got influence on the organization behavior. That's why we are studying this. Personality has influence on organization behavior, and specific personality traits influence the behavior significantly. They include locus of control. Personality traits we are covering right now, locus of control, self-efficacy versus and self-monitoring, Machiavellianism, fundamental interpersonal relations oriented behavior, and action orientation. Let's take them one by one. Locus of control. It refers to the degree to which people believe they can control their lives. Underline the word believe. I believe that this is under my control. This is called as internal locus of control. If I believe I can climb the mountains, I have an internal locus of control which says that I can do it. On the other hand, I believe I can't climb the mountain, then I have an external locus of control. It's not in my hands, it's in the hands of many other things. So we have got two types of traits people have. Locus of control, in strong internals or strong externals. In between there are people with varying degrees of both. Next is self-efficacy and self-monitoring. Self-efficacy, as we have told earlier, is a confidence in one's own abilities and capabilities. I think I can do it. I'm good in this. That confidence. So if an arduous task is given to me, I can still fulfill it. Self-monitoring is a sensitivity and the ability of an individual to adapt to situational demands. Self-monitoring means what? I go to a particular home and I notice that the grandmother in that home is a type of a control freak and she likes to control everybody. So my self-monitoring trait will tell me that at this stage, when you're in that home, learn to be adaptive with that old lady. Sensitivity and ability of an individual to adapt to the situational demands and cues. I go to that house and I see her controlling people. And she comes to meet me. How, Venkat, how are you? And then I say, fine. So I start playing it by the ear at that point of time. Self-monitoring. I'm monitoring myself in that area, in that home, to see that I'm with the situation. High self-monitors change their behavior easily based on situational requirements. Very important. High self-monitors tend to be leaders and work efficiently with all people. If you have the self-monitoring, it creates self-awareness. Self-awareness is a beautiful, fertile ground for you to keep changes happening. Machiavellianism. It comes from the person by name Niccolo Machiavelli, an Italian person similar to we have in our Indian context, we have Chanakya, right? Master manipulator. Now manipulation is not a bad word. People think manipulation is a bad word. We are all manipulating each other in life. I am manipulating you to listen to my lecture, just as you are manipulating me to give a feeling perhaps that you are listening. Take it easy. Okay? In all transactions, what is manipulation? I am influencing you to get something done for me. And you in turn is influencing to get something done for you. Are we not doing that? At homes, in schools, at the workplace, in society, we are all manipulating. So this person lived almost about 300 years back and he came out with this particular analysis. It is someone who views and manipulates others for personal gains. Manipulation is given a bad word when I manipulate for my gains. A leader in an organization, a manager in an organization, manipulates his subordinates for the gains of the organization and also for himself. Let's be honest. If I'm a manager who's manipulating my subordinates only for my gain and not the gain of the organization, that is bad. That is incorrect. That is not at all acceptable. But I'm manipulating you so that I grow, organization grows, and also you grow. Fair enough. You know, we don't realize people are manipulating us till we realize that I am giving more than what I am getting. Is it not true about life? You will interact with me provided you are getting more out of me. I am not talking about me as a faculty, as a human being. Suppose we both meet. You interact with me
If you are getting more from me, you will not even realize I am manipulating you. But the moment you realize you are getting less from me, notice that you start feeling this man is using me. Consider all the moments when you felt manipulated. Isn't it true? Machiavellianism tends to approach situations logically and thoughtfully and can lie to achieve personal goals. The goals matter. To achieve the goals, I'll do anything, I'll manipulate people. This is the way Niccolo Machiavelli propounded this particular concept. Chanakya also talks about the same thing in our Indian context. Reluctant to be swayed by loyalty, promises, opinions, friendship, and it is a strong influence on others. Now we talk about fundamental interpersonal relations oriented behavior. There's a famous test called FIROB, F-I-R-O-B, capitals given in the bracket. Similarly, we have got what is called the FIRO-A. These are again tests through which this is determined. A stands for attitude, B is for behavior. Now FIRO-B is more popular. So FIRO-B is what we are discussing in this context. It examines individual's adjustments and compatibility with others. Am I the adjustable type? Am I the person who says something and does something else? So this instrument means this test, it measures various characteristics and behavior of a person and denotes a score. Depending upon the score, the personality is labeled. I don't want to use the word label. Label means it's fixed. The personality is determined in that particular context. Any test which is based on behavior, attitudes, etc., if you do it in different points of time, you'll get different scores. So don't get carried away, don't get low because the scores are not as per what you want. Ultimately, you are evolving. The test will also show that you're evolving. And the test is not everything. Ultimately, you are everything. If you have put the human will, you can make changes happen in your life regardless of tests. I believe in that. Taking it further, FIROB talks about I score, which is about inclusion. Underline the word inclusion. Inclusion in social settings for belonging and affection. Do I have the quality of being inclusive? Do I show belongingness and affection? Do I also reciprocate? Do I get the reciprocal thing from others? The I score will indicate that. C score is about controlling. Do I control others in a social setting by influencing and dominating them? Then the A score is about affection. Is my behavior socially compatible for bondage with people, closeness, warmth, sensitivity? So these three scores, I, C and A score, is, and then we come to E score, a person's expressed and manifested behavior observed by others in areas of inclusion, control and affection. What do people observe about it? Whatever you may say, I'm a very liberal person. I'm a person who loves people. I keep on saying this, let's assume. But what people say ultimately matters. And that's something which is different. So that E score is also computed. Then we have the W score, a person's wanted behavior observed by others in areas of inclusion, control and affection, which is less directly observable. We want him to be like this and we don't see them in inclusion, neither in control nor in affection. W score. Action-oriented personality is four types we are talking about right now. Proactive personality. As the name indicates, they scan and forecast the environment, decide and implement appropriate action even before it is warranted. Very proactive. Then comes a reactive personality, a term we have heard many times. They wait for others or situations to demand them to make the implement decisions. The first is prepared before the event. The second one waits for the event to happen. Then we have NATO. No action, talk only. We find this many. All show but no go. They make promises, talk high, speak always and forget it with no action. More action, less talk, malt. They are silent about ideas, plans, programs, but act on time without much attention. They are the doers. At the point of time when you require them in emergencies, on calls, they are ready for you. Malt type. Now we talk about type A and type B personalities as a conclusion. Type A personality profile is an aggressive type of a person, always moving, walking, talking rapidly, impatient, aggressive and competitive, multitasking, always on the move, obsessed with numbers, obsessed with results, under pressure, cannot cope with leisure time. Okay, this is a very dangerous thing. Because if my type A is taken for a vacation, he will successfully screw up the vacation with his family. I have some few type A's in my, among my cousins and all. When they take their families out, they say it's better that we stay back home. They don't go out for a vacation. Type A. Because they're obsessed with that. And today type A's are increasing thanks to the type of working we are going through. Okay? Type B, patient, not concerned about time, never in a hurry. They are not laid back people. They run their life that way. They are also useful to society. Mild mannered, does not brag much about himself or herself, not competitive. They stay there, giving the support, relaxed without guilt, has no pressing deadlines. He lives in his own world, he or she. Okay, a type A will look at type B as a no good. Type B will look at a type A as a person who's too very aggressive. These are again perceptions and opinions about each other. Both are required to work in a team. As a matter of fact, you and I, each of us, have got parts of our life which is type A, parts of our life which is type B. Nobody is a pure type A, nobody is a pure type B. Okay? Type A and B job performance. Type A perform more difficult and challenging jobs. I don't totally agree to this. Okay? Because type B also performs very challenging jobs. Back office research, back office analysis, patience, jobs which require patience, you know, maintaining a hardware which has gone haywire. A type A does it very, type B does it very well. Type A are highly competitive, but type B are better at creativity. Type A causes more disturbances and distractions than type B. Type A are suitable for time-bound jobs. Type B are suitable for managerial and supervisory jobs. That's the end of it, friends. And with this, I wish you all the best and hope to meet you in the next lecture. Thank you.